We are the Pop Grillers, and this festive season, I watch 31 Die Hard derivatives. Welcome to the party, pal. It's Die Hard on a passenger train. When this was an original screenplay, it was co-written by Matt Reeves. When this was retrofitted into an undersea shitquel, it was script doctored by Brian Helgeland. That is some serious bona fide talent behind this script. Not that you'd know it. Dark Territory is to the original Under Siege what Cruise Control is to the original Speed. An unrelenting slog of a watch as a result of innumerable missteps that sucks any sense of narrative propulsion out of the viewing experience, leaving only drudgery and inertia in its wake. Or, in this instance, I should say its tracks. Speaking of comatose, the whisper-voiced, greased mullet-sporting, girdle-wearing Seagal is so slow in his movements in this that director Jeff Murphy is seemingly forced to use comical, speeded-up editing during his action scenes in order to inject some pace. Now this I'm trained for. Pfft, rubbish. He's bad, but there's actually arguably worse performances. For one, there's Eric Bogosian as the monologuing big bad Travis Dane, an actor who clearly believes he's a Machiavellian Shakespearean villain on stage, needing to perform big to the nosebleed bleachers at the back. He's no Iago. They should have stuck to the original casting plan and brought back Boosie. No explanation needed, but if you really require one, he's Commander Creel's revenge-seeking twin brother. Better movie. Worse yet is Morris Chestnut as annoying psychic Bobby Zax, a quipping character and grating acting performance that seems to serve as something of a template for Tyrese Gibson to replicate time and time again as he continues to inexplicably be cast in big-budget blockbuster franchise fare. The transformation, pun intended, of Chestnut's simpering busboy into action hero here is entirely unearned and inconceivable too. Even more so than stripper-turned-survivalist Erika Elniak. The lack of effort and creativity on display is best exemplified by the final henchman number one face-off as Seagal's Ryback and the bleach-blonde Bond villain auditioning Everett McGill's pen literally recreate the knife fight from the climax of the original Under Siege. It's longer, but much less dynamic, with an underwhelming conclusion. Yeah. The sequel shocks nobody by spreading caca all over the place. Make sure you subscribe, because it's to your advantage not to miss all the festive treats we have in store for you. Yippee-ki-yay, movie lovers!